You're listening to Björk Unraveled, a series that demystifies Björk's music one piece at a time. I'm your host, Savannah Wright. If you didn't know who Björk was before this podcast, there was probably one thing you did know about her. Her swan dress. The dress she wore to the Academy Awards is so iconic that it became a pop culture symbol all on its own. It's been parodied on The Simpsons, Hannah Montana, and most recently, iCarly. Ellen DeGeneres wore an imitation of it in 2001 when she hosted the Emmys.
In September, and everyone knows that it's fine to wear swan in September, but... but is it okay to wear it after September? I don't know. I know it's duck after October, goose before November, but... I'm going to ask Björk. I have no idea.
And while that dress does capture the audacity of Björk's style, it also obscures the sheer variety of Björk's looks. That's something that Federico Proto brings to light through his Instagram.
My name is Federico Proto. My artist name is Federico Luz. And I run Techno Prayer on Instagram, which is a Björk fashion archive project.
Federico is an accomplished designer who explores the connections between fashion and sound, the perfect combination for a subject like Björk. In fact, while working for the Icelandic designer Hildur Jóman, he actually helped design a dress for Björk.
It was quite unexpected because I was supposed to leave already Iceland to return to university, and then my boss called me while I was having 5 days off and doing like a hitchhike trip in the Westfjords, and the connection of the phones are very bad when you're in like remote places in Iceland, and I could just hear like SOS, I need your help, Björk dress concert, and I was like freaking out, and like in the middle of nowhere, not able to like run back to Reykjavik to start working on it. So once I was back, I prolonged my stay. We started designing the dresses, and when we went for the fittings, I was like I felt like a statue, you know. I was just like, this is so surreal. She wore one of the dresses, one of Hildur's designs, for the Royal Albert Hall concert in 2016. It's kind of like this glow-in-the-dark kind of jellyfish-ish dress. I went to the show also, and that was just like heart-stopping moment to also see the Hildur's work, kind of, which I contributed to on stage. That was great.
In this episode, we're going to talk about 5 looks from the Björk Fashion Archives. Federico will explain what they look like, who designed them, and why they matter. To help you follow along, I'll include a link in the show notes with the looks we're discussing. And don't worry, we will address the swan in the room. Federico discovered Björk when he was a teenager growing up near Munich, Germany. While rifling through the music collection at a public library, he discovered an album cover that intrigued him, Medulla.
So I think from the beginning there was something very visual about Björk's work, which was very impressive to me. So I have never heard or seen her before. So I totally plunged into the whole archive of music, and I got really obsessed because for me it was like never heard before, and I felt kind of represented in my maybe weirdness or difference. I became older, I decided to do fashion design as a main thing, and this kind of love for Björk's looks and choices and eccentricity were always kind of a driving force for my work also.
I asked Federico to choose 5 of his favorite Björk looks, but with a few caveats. I didn't want to talk about the obvious ones, like the outfits she wore on her album covers. Okay, except the swan dress, but that one had to be confronted.
I was really like yesterday going a bit crazy, figuring out which one shall I talk about. But let's start with the one from the 2019 performance with Arca. So yeah, that was in the Shed in New York. They kind of premiered a song together, the one which would end up on Arca's album called Afterward, where Björk sings in Spanish, which I think is quite lovely. The look, it's a dress which looks like an oyster or something like that. And it's a bit translucent, so you can kind of understand a bit the body of Björk between these layers of, well, I don't know really, but it looks like a, yeah, like some organza or something, but it's quite stiff. It's a 3S4 design from spring 2020. The collection is called Human Plant and revolves around the environmental crisis. What I thought interesting about this look is, first of all, her relationship with those designers, 3S4. She's been wearing them since super early, I think since 2000. And there is something interesting about their relation between technology and the natural world, which I think is quite similar also to how Björk works.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially on Utopia, which is around this time.
Exactly. And I thought this dress is quite like nice because it kind of becomes a mask at the same time. So there is something about technology, nature, friendship, and protection also. It's like the shell protecting the pearl somehow.
Yeah, I like that. So you said that she started collaborating with 3S4 like in the early 2000s. I know Björk helped put a lot of designers like on the map, or at least brought more attention to their work. Was this, did she help 3S4 with that, or were they already pretty well known at that point?
I think they were quite symbiotically somehow. I don't know if that's the right word, but I think they kind of had this like parallel development. But I am sure that she did it like she supported a lot of young designers, and she's that makes also my work sometimes quite difficult because she's really into student work also.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so she wears for special events sometimes very unknown designers or people who are not even out there yet, who have no web pages or something, who are just graduating with their bachelor or something, and that's super amazing. And also exciting to research. It's also like nice. There's always like a rotation and like new things coming up.
Yeah. No, that tracks too with just how she will elevate younger artists too with her music. She'll try to find people who maybe are not super popular, but collaborate with them and kind of help them along with their journey. So I love that.
Yeah, me too. There's some designers she really pushed their career, like Bernhard Wilhelm or Hussein Shalayan, whose designs I didn't choose to speak about because they're quite well known, like the cover of Volta or the cover of Post. I think in those cases, it was really like a big, big support for the designers to have like such an outgoing personality and artist like Björk wearing those designs. Yeah,
no, that can definitely get like a huge amount of attention for your work. That's awesome. Which one do you want to talk about next?
Maybe the Oceania one.
Okay.
I chose this dress, this outfit, because I think it's has a nice symbolism, and it was also a very huge performance where the dress played quite a big role. It's the dress she wore for the opening of the Olympic Games in Athens in 2004. And she sang the song Oceania, which is co-written by Sion. So yeah, the dress is designed by Sofia Kokosalaki, the Greek designer. It's made out of more than 210 meters of material. A lot of blue and white and gray and indigo colored strips of fabric stitched together to kind of resemble waves in motion, maybe. And she's wearing it with a headpiece by Shoplifter, who's an Icelandic artist who made the medulla headpiece and works a lot with like hair as a material and creates those like hair headpieces or furry sculptures.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think this dress is amazing because the during the performance it was like extended and it spread like a flood over the whole playground of the arena, and it was like covering I think like 210 people. Like the tail of the dress became like a huge tent or something over all those people, and it at the end it showed also like the map of the world. Because Björk was actually commissioned to make a song or a performance related to unity. And then I found out that she said she thought of the ocean as the symbol of unity, since it's like the thing which touches all the continents, no matter about countries, borders, race, religion, etc.
Yeah, I mean, I also love this one. I heard that she was actually supposed to be like lifted into the air. And then the fabric would spread even farther. But I guess there was a technical error. I'm curious if you know about like the reaction to this dress in the press, because I know it got a lot of attention, her opening the Olympic Games. Were people in the fashion world impressed, or did they not like it? Or do you remember what the reaction was?
Yeah, one reaction was that somebody was surprised people clapped after the track, because apparently they wouldn't know when is the song over or what exactly is going on somehow. because there was a firework at the end of the song, so people would like understand, oh, this is the end kind of the track. But that's not about the dress.
Yeah, no, that's pretty funny, because yeah, her songs are appealing to the masses, but sometimes they are confusing to them. So I love that. That's really funny. Okay, so which of the ones did you want to talk about next?
So maybe the Triumph of a Heart music video. So yeah, the dress is a design from the brand called Capucci from fall 2003. And at that time, the head of design, the creative director, was Bernhard Wilhelm, who was also my teacher in university for 3 years. He's a very funky German designer who collaborated a lot with Björk. Yeah, and it's like a pink dress, kind of like a cotton jersey, and it has like an overlapping cape part around the neck with a little gathered pleats, and she's wearing it with this pair of golden sneakerish boots with like strange straps, which are designed by Imitation of Christ and Puma.
Oh.
Yeah, it's like a collaboration, like a shoe collaboration thing. And I like this outfit because of the relation to Bernhard Wilhelm. He's one of the designers she wore since his graduation collection. So there we have again this kind of supporting of young designers, which I think is super nice. She's worn a lot of his designs since, like the cover for Volta is a sculpture made by him, or the whole tour outfits for the Volta tour were all his designs. But I think she wears a lot of his work also in private. So it's not just for the show, but also like, I think she really, really likes his designs.
I'm curious if she tends, because I know like when she releases an album, she tends to kind of stick thematically, at least visually, to that album's feeling or mood. And does she kind of do the same thing with the designer she wears? Does she stick to kind of some of the same designers for an album period? Do you know?
I think it's becoming more like that. I think with Biophilia, she started to be way more interested also in kind of longer term relationships. But sure, we have like Alexander McQueen or Bernhard Wilhelm or Jeremy Scott also in the late 90s and early zero years, where I think she finds kind of a link to what they're doing related to what she's doing. So I think in a way, there is a connection thematically from between the design and the music. And I think right now it's way stronger because I feel like she works more with these ideas of avatars. So like every new album kind of represents some sort of figure, and there it becomes way more, yeah, maybe costumey, but I think it's still great. Like I don't think you have often this kind of like fashion people don't liking the costume word, the C word, but it's not, I think it's not a problem. I think there's not often a big difference. The line is very blurry between.
Yeah, well, and it allows her to wear, I feel like, even more avant-garde pieces because it's part of this avatar, like you said.
Exactly.
That maybe, yeah, you wouldn't find every day in everyday life. Okay, so do we want to go to that street style look that you picked out?
Yo.
So yeah, tell me, what is she wearing here?
Okay, so this one, I love this one. It's very recent. It's from last year. She's ordering a taxi in New York City with her daughter Isadora. She wears a top, which looks like a dress, by Balenciaga, fall 2018, and a big pink puffer jacket by Chen Peng Studio. And the shoes are Comme des Garçons. And I think the glasses are Gucci. The dress is like a floral print, like pink, blue, and kind of a bit purplish, green colors, like a floral print. And it says Balenciaga around the chest. So I like about it, first of all, the puffer jacket. I think Björk has been wearing puffy jackets since the beginning of time. We have the very famous one in the Yoga music video. Emergency, how beautiful to be. I also like that she's wearing here this Comme des Garçons shoes, which is a pair of shoes she owns, I think, since a lot of years. Yeah, that's something I really like, that there is also this real fashion aspect to Björk. It's not just like the outfits for stage or the costumes for the performances or for the shoots or for the editorials and album covers or promotional photo shoots. There is also this kind of real person with I don't know, here, for example, the shoes which she wears since 6 or 7 years already. So I think, you know, there is a real interest in fashion. It's not just this whole kind of Instagram superficial superstar. So I think that's also the cool thing about her wearing a Balenciaga dress, which is like a brand of the time right now. It's like, it's just huge and super famous. And she hasn't been wearing any Balenciaga for any official appearance or show or anything. But it's cool to see her wearing this dress in New York on the streets.
Yeah.
And I love, particularly, I love this image also of her ordering the taxi because it created like a huge overflow of memes.
Yeah.
Which I think is also something very special. Like, I think it makes people excited to see her. It makes people excited and inspired to... I don't know. There's something very contemporary about it.
Yeah. I when you sent this photo, I immediately just thought of the memes. I hadn't even really looked at what she was wearing. But I'm really glad you brought it up and pointed out where everything is from. It actually reminds me of this quote that I wanted to share with you. It's from 2005. And it's an interview she did with The Observer. And the author writes that, quote, "She would never wear jeans and a t-shirt," she says, "because they are a symbol of white American imperialism, like drinking Coca-Cola," which I thought is funny. Like, I don't know if she feels that strongly about it, but when I was looking back at all of the pictures that I can like remember of her, you really don't see her in jeans and a t-shirt. Maybe like that one funny one from like the post era where it's like, enjoy cock instead of enjoy Coca-Cola, but, or like maybe like a Ren and Stimpy shirt. But other than that, like she will always wear like skirts or dresses or just like really different or like kimonos, like fun, unique outfits.
Yeah, that's totally right. And yeah, I think that's the reason why I love Björk's fashion so much. It's just always a surprise. And but who knows, you know, maybe if she would pop up in a jeans and a t-shirt and flip-flops next year in summer or something, it would be like a huge surprise and it would be like, what is she wearing? Oh my god.
Yeah. So the last one that we're going to talk about, and it's not necessarily because it's your favorite, which you mentioned, but it's because it's just so iconic and it's like synonymous with Björk herself, is the swan dress. So I think people kind of know what it looks like, but can we just start by you describing what it looks like?
Yeah, sure. She wore it in 2001 for the Academy Awards. She was nominated for I've Seen It All, from the motion picture musical Dance in the Dark by Lars von Trier. It's a white tulle dress, like a tutu-ish dress, kind of cascades of white tulle layers forming kind of a body of a swan. The neck of the swan goes around her own neck, and the beak of the swan is like kind of holding the dress. I mean, I feel a bit funny describing this dress because everyone knows it.
Yeah.
But why not? It's a nice practice. And she's wearing it with like a nude tone body overall. Yeah. Yeah, it's a look.
It's a look. Well, first of all, what was the reaction in general to this dress? And then I'm also curious why you think people reacted that way.
Okay. There is a story behind of this dress. It was designed by the Macedonian designer Marian Pejoski, who later became Kokon Tusai, or KTC, or KTZ, who's also, I think, like a longtime friend of Björk. And she's been wearing his designs also throughout her career. I don't know. I think, especially in those times, like beginning of the 0 years, everything was like Calvin Klein, Armani, like minimalistic, elegant dresses, understatement, kind of secretly maybe even sportswear or something. So I think that this was really like a shock for everyone, I think, to see a celebrity coming to the Oscars wearing this dress was a bit of a confusion. And I think that it's so strong, I think, till today, looking at the image right now, I'm like, wow, like, you gotta have guts to do something like that. And a lot of humor. And I think that's what usually Hollywood celebrities don't necessarily have, or it's not so natural.
This outfit not only stands out as one of the most notorious moments in Oscar history, but also in pop culture in general. The Icelandic artist shocked everyone when she stormed onto the red carpet in this ensemble.
Although this dress felt completely out of place at the Oscars in Hollywood, Federico points out that the design has its roots in another old Hollywood dress.
It's based on a dress that Marlene Dietrich wore in the 30s. Where she went as Leda and the Swan, like the myth of Leda and the Swan. And it was like a costume party, and she was wearing actually like a real taxidermed swan around her neck with like a huge train of feathers. It's super beautiful. And I mean, that's my theory, because it looks quite similar somehow, but in a modern take.
There's one other thing that gets lost in the conversation about the swan dress. Björk's ensemble was matched by a few choice accessories.
She had like six big kind of ostrich eggs or something like that, decorated by Matthew Barney, her partner back then, which she would like keep dropping over the red carpet, and the security guys would like come up and be like, "Oh, ma'am, you lost something," and give back her eggs. which I think is also really pretty amazing, and like there is a, you know, genuine humor and originality behind of this choice of this dress, and yeah, which I think is one of a kind.
Yeah, no, I mean, I love that you talk about what people were wearing in this time period, because when you look behind her in this photo you sent, it's like mostly black. There's like one red dress, and people are looking at her kind of like surprised, like smiling, yeah. Like what?
It's totally true. That's a moment somehow. This dress is just like so cool and fun and daring, courageous.
Yeah. do you think it's, because I noticed also it's become, like you said, it became a part of like cartoons and like comedy sketches, but it's also been in like a couple American kids shows like iCarly and Hannah Montana. And I wonder like what you think this dress has become a symbol of. Like, do you think it's just artistic daring or just like over the top fashion? Or yeah, I'm curious to hear your thoughts.
I don't know. There is this quote from Björk, where she said that she's there for the eccentrics and the freaks. And I think it's coming up in that context in the shows, like the strange person with a swan dress. But she exists, she's there, and she's, you know, she's being reproduced. And so, yeah, I think it's more that somehow. I think it's also Björk was trying to, you know, make fun of the Oscars and this red carpet moments and the whole photographers. So I think it's not so strange that this moment became a moment of fun also in the future and for future artists and comedians. And so it's, you know, there's a nice chronology, I think, of fun.
Yeah. Well, I also think how it just kind of contrasts with, I guess, American expectations for some of these events, because like you said, at the Oscars, people, you know, it's like black tie and it's like, it's kind of simple and elegant. And I don't see a lot of people taking huge fashion risks at the Oscars, but at the Grammys, I feel like you do see a little bit more people kind of pushing the envelope a little more. So yeah, I just kind of want to hear your thoughts. Like, if she had premiered this dress at the Grammys, do you think the reaction would have been different? Or do you think people still would have been like, whoa, this is way too different?
I think a bit of both. I mean, we shouldn't forget that this is 2001. So I think back then there was just a total different fashion etiquette. Nowadays is a total different story. Like, you see everything everywhere, I guess. Maybe still not at the Academy Awards, but if I look at celebrities now in the Met Gala, for example, they just like, they're very hungry for craziness and for strange mottos or whatever. So I think she's like a, how do you say that? Like a forerunner for kind of big events with strange mottos or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, totally. No, I'm really glad you brought up the Met Gala, because yeah, now everyone's trying to compete for like the most outrageous or just the most memorable outfit there. And she totally did it before any of them. So I just have a few questions that are more general for the end. I was curious what you think makes Björk a fashion icon. Like, what is it about her or the designers that she wears that makes her iconic?
So I think Björk has been always roaming into the unknown, whether if it's technology or nature or sonic discoveries. And I think that's what also makes her like a fashion icon, that she's really trying to dig into the unknown and the unforeseen. And somehow I think that's what also excites designers to work with her. To me, like, I think there is no moment up until today where Björk lost relevance, I think, in art, music, and fashion. And I think that's because of this kind of surprise and excitement and also uniqueness and daring.
Yeah, the way you're describing it, it also kind of reminds me of just how people react to her music. Like, you never know what she's going to do next. You never know what, like, style she's going to experiment, whether it's, you know, an all-vocal album like Medulla, or she's going to go back to her electronic roots with Volta. Like, it's just fun to follow her where she goes on her creative journey. I just wanted to end with one more question. You've kind of talked about this, but why does Björk's music or fashion matter to you personally? You can choose one to talk about or both. I'm just wanting to get kind of your last thoughts.
Okay. Well, that's like Pandora's box now. I find it hyper motivating to follow your own path and to, you know, do the art and the work and the connections and collaborations in life which you think are valuable, and to not look so much to kind of the mainstream or the news or, you know, the trends or something. I think she's working really away from trends and kind of setting the trends through that. And I think that's quite something I admire sonically and visually.
Nice. Well, thank you so much, Federico. It was awesome hearing more about you just like your thoughts on fashion. I haven't talked to someone who knows so much as you do about fashion, so I enjoyed it for that reason too.
Thank you. It flatters me. Thank you so much for asking to do this. I think it's fun to talk about fashion because it's such a visual thing. So it's kind of challenging, but also just exciting.
A huge thank you to Federico for coming on the show. If you want to follow him on Instagram, you can find him at techno_prayer. Again, if you want to see the looks we talked about, check out that link in the show notes. As we learned in the first episode this season, Bjerk tends to avoid politics. But there is one issue she'll always speak up about: climate change. In the next episode, I'll trace her progression as a climate activist, from reluctant protester to national leader, and I'll examine the impact this activism has had on her music and the world. You've been listening to Bjerk Unraveled, a series that demystifies Bjerk's music one piece at a time. Bjerk Unraveled is produced independently by me, Savannah Wright. If you liked this episode, please share it with a friend and submit a review on whatever podcast app you're using. If you have an idea for a future episode, tell me about it. You can find me on Instagram at Bjerk Unraveled. I'm Savannah Wright. Thanks for listening.